Good evening. Welcome back to Stephen's True Crime Commentary. My name is Stephen David Lampley, and for the next 10 minutes, of course, we're going to be talking true crime. If you're a fan of the true crime television shows, radio, or books, then this is certainly the place for you, and I'm glad you joined us this evening. Thank you so much. Last week, we finished a discussion on how it is that police detectives are able to determine if someone's lying to them. Tonight, we're going to begin a four-part series on serial killers. And specifically tonight, we're going to be discussing or going over some misconceptions that a lot of people have regarding serial killers. There's a lot of misinformation out there. I spent 21 years as a certified police officer. In the latter years of my career, I was a SVU detective. And I've discovered that a lot of people just have misinformation about serial killers. And I guess a lot of that has to do with the media, perhaps even more so film and television. But there's a lot of errant information out there. We're going to spend some time the next few minutes just going over some of those things that are just incorrect. So you have an understanding of really who serial killers are. Now, before we get started, I know some of you already know, and if you've seen my website, or we've talked, or we're friends, then you know that in the past that I was friends with the serial killer and cannibal Jeffrey Dahmer. That's no secret. This was back when we were in the service together. I was also the negotiator and the arresting officer of the Claremont killer from San Diego, California, some years back. And, you know, it's sort of funny in a way, sort of a sinister way, is that when people find out for the first time that I was friends with Jeffrey Dahmer, that they get this look in their eye. Not everybody, but some get this look in their eye like, it takes just a second for it to register. And they look at me, and they it's almost like they look both ways, and behind them that something super secret's about to happen. And they'll even lean forward, some of them, and then they start whispering, "What was he really like?" You know, and it's humorous. I know what they're fishing for. I know they're looking for the skibby, you know, the dish on Jeffrey Dahmer, and I know what they're looking for me to say, and that's not the case. They're looking for me to say that Jeffrey was some grotesque, knuckle-dragging ogre who has a wart on his nose with three hairs and each one going a different direction, carrying a butcher knife everywhere, looking for victims. And that's not true. That is the farthest from the truth. The time that I knew Jeffrey, and let me tell you this, Jeffrey had already started his killing spree when I knew him. And, of course, we didn't know that. We had no clue. But no clue whatsoever. But Jeffrey, as far as when I knew him, was a very mannerly, cordial, friendly, and well-spoken individual. I can't say any more than that about him. Now, of course, he had a dark side, and nobody knew that. Nobody knew that for a long time. But when I knew Jeffrey, he was one of the guys. He was nice and cordial. Now, the next question I get, sort of, I guess, a follow-up question to that is, Stephen, what do serial killers look like? Well, you know, let's go back to Jeffrey. What did Jeffrey look like? He looked like an everyday guy. He looked like, you know, looked like anybody else you'd meet walking on the street or any other person you might be friends with. He was just an everyday, normal-looking guy. You can't look at someone by some physical feature or the way they dress, determine that's a serial killer. Let's put him in jail. You know, that's not possible. Serial killers, let me tell you a secret. Serial killers look like anybody else walking around. They wear dresses, they wear shirts and pants and shoes, they carry purses. They go eat at restaurants, they go to church. They're just like anybody else. And you can't look at somebody and say, that is a serial killer. It's not possible. And, you know, and sometimes, as sad as it is that just by the given definition of what a serial killer is, we don't even know we have a serial killer until three homicides have been, we have three homicide cases. You know, by the sheer definition of a serial killer is that there's three murders, each separated by a cooling off period with victims that had nothing to do with each other. So, you know, the first time you have a murder, and you go to investigate, do you have a serial killing? Who knows? You have one murder. You have a homicide, and you've got a victim. Do you have a serial killer? Again, I don't know. Then maybe 2 weeks, 2 months later, you have another homicide, and you have some of the similar characteristics that you had of the crime scene, or of a signature, perhaps, from the first one. Do you have a serial killer? Maybe. It's something we should consider at this point. Certainly begin to look at. And as we're doing the investigations into homicide number one and homicide number two, then you have homicide number three, which has the same signature and some of the same MO as the first two. Now we can say we very possibly have a serial killer. So, you know, we're looking at three homicides before we have a pattern that we can identify as being a serial killer. And then comes the process of who is it? And again, we can't just go on the street and say, okay, we're looking for this individual who's this tall, this has this weight, is this sex, is this race. It's not possible. Let's talk about a couple of other misconceptions that people have regarding serial killers, and one is that of intelligence. And let's go back to Hollywood, and let's go back to the television shows and the films. Most people believe that a serial killer is either one of two things, is either almost grotesquely or phenomenally intelligent, of super, super genius status, that's why they act so crazy, or number two, they're just crazy to begin with. And that's not true either. You will find that the intelligent quotient distribution of serial killers follows the population norm. If you take serial killers and put them on a bell curve of intelligence, you're going to have those that are a little bit below, such as Otis Toole. I think he had an IQ around 70-ish, mid-70-ish. And you're going to have those serial killers who have a phenomenally high IQ, such as Ted Kaczynski and Rodney Alcala. They were up in the 140 range. But you're going to find that the preponderance of serial killers had IQs in the average range, along with everybody else, around the 90s. So, no, serial killers are not all immensely genius, and they're not all immensely insane. Let's talk about loners. They're not all loners, either. Some are. Some are very active in society, such as Ted Bundy. John Wayne Gacy was in the White House, for God's sakes. Not all serial killers live in a shack in the woods. That's not true. Two more misconceptions that I want to throw in here, and our time's about up, is that they are not all male. Most of them are, yes. So there are some female serial killers. And they're not all white. But again, yes, the preponderance of serial killers are Caucasian, but that's not true for all. There are black, there are Asian, there are Hispanic. Listen, our time is about up, and I want to thank you for joining me. I know we had to end this pretty quick, and there's some more information I wanted to give. I'll try to squeeze this in the next week's show, of next week's commentary. But for now, listen, I want to thank you for your support. You all are great, and we'll be talking with you again next week. Thank you so much. Have a good evening.